In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. The word if, I-F, if, it's a small word, but it has tremendous implications. It actually is a word that can cause all of us more trouble than perhaps any other word in the English language. It can be one of the most sorrowful words in the English language. I mean, how often do we hear people say, or do we say ourselves, if only I could have another chance, or if only I had made a different choice, or if only I had ambition, or if only I had called the doctor sooner, or if only I had been more patient, if only I had taken the opportunity when I had a chance, if only I had listened to my parents, if only I had spent more time with my children when they were young. If only I had not made this mistake. If only I had acted differently. If. Father Anthony Conieris, who wrote many, many wonderful sermons and many wonderful books, considers this word if in one of his books, Message of the Sunday Gospels, in his sermon, If You Can Do Anything. He relates that, as we know in Scripture and we hear in Scripture, Mary and Martha, when their brother had died, Mary and Martha said to Jesus after he had died, if only you had been here, our brother would not have died. If. It's also a word that the great deceiver, Satan, uses in tempting us. It's one of his favorite words. Look at what he tried to do to Jesus, again in the Gospels. After being baptized by John in the River Jordan, Jesus went into the wilderness and he fasted 40 days. And then Satan came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And then he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then finally he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and he said, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, how many times has someone said something to us? If you're so strong, why don't you do this? Or if you're so smart, why can't you figure this out? Or if you're so rich, why don't you do this? Or if you're such a faithful Christian, why don't you do this or that? As Satan did with Jesus, he does with us. He often uses this word, if, to play on our ego and our pride, to confuse us and to show off what we can do. And maybe we can do something. Maybe we can do these things in our lives. Jesus certainly could have turned the stones into bread. He could have jumped from the temple and landed safely. He could have easily been the king of the world. In fact, he was. But as soon as pride and ego enter into this process of our thinking, we give ourselves over to the evil one. It's his will that we are doing and not God's will. If. During Great Lent, as many of you know, the weekday readings from Scripture are from Genesis, Proverbs, and Isaiah. Actually, it's in the order of Isaiah, Genesis, and Proverbs. But it's from those three books that the weekday readings are from in Great Lent. And there's a reason for this. It's so that we can retrace the work and the words of God among the Israelites so we can learn their story. So we can understand what they experienced. We can understand the joys they had and the temptations they had and the sorrows that they had and the struggles that they had and the challenges that they had. Because you see, their story is our story. In the new Israel, in the church, their story often contained the word if. In fact, there are approximately 1,600 verses that contain the word if in Holy Scriptures, both old and new. Early in the book of Genesis, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire for you, but you should rule over it. If only Cain had repented. In Nehemiah, remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. In other words, these if statements also detail consequences for certain behaviors and actions and attitudes. For instance, note the possibility. Hear the possibility for repentance in just these few verses and these few passages with the word if in it. How many times did Moses say to Pharaoh, if you let my people go? Imagine if Pharaoh had obeyed or repented. Then all those plagues that we heard about and we read about and the suffering in Egypt could have been avoided. The first five books of the Old Testament that we know as the Torah or the law that were given to Moses is full of these conditional statements about if. And these statements and these admonitions and these challenges provide directions and remedies based upon numerous circumstances in life. In Exodus, for instance, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Exodus chapter 19. Proverbs 1 verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Isaiah chapter 1. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, Father Conieris continues on and he points out these words of wisdom. He says, instead of using the words if only as an expression of regret or sadness, try replacing them with creative and hopeful words. Next time. For example, next time, with the help of my Lord, it will be different. Next time. We can also use the word if in a positive manner. And we find also this in Scripture in many different places. In John chapter 15, if God is for us, who is against us? I'm sorry, that's in Romans chapter 8. In John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. It can be a powerful and positive word in our lives, just as it can be a sorrowful word. It can be one of life's saddest words if it concentrates on vain regrets for what has happened in the past. If it seeks God for power and for life and for forgiveness. Our Lord said in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If. In today's gospel lesson that we just heard, a man brings his son to Jesus because his son was possessed by a spirit that often made him harm himself. And the father says to Jesus, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Recall then, just a few moments ago, we heard these words of our Lord. What did he respond? How did he respond? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It's a very, very important exchange for us today as we are sitting or standing here in our lives. Because we often look to God to do things for us without really believing and trusting in him. It's not about if God can do this or that for us. Rather, it's about if we are willing, if we are able, if we are ready to believe and trust in his will in our lives, that he will do or not do, provide or not provide, whatever is best for us. Because ultimately, In Him, it is best for us. So really what he's saying is that we need to be obedient. If we really and truly believed and trusted in God, then we would, as we say so many times in the services of the church, we will commit ourselves and each other and our whole life to Christ our God. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Amen.